This is the SearchSecurity.com Threat Monitor Podcast for December 18th, 2008. In these semi-monthly recordings, SearchSecurity.com contributors offer expert advice on the latest information security threats. I'm Carolyn Gibney. Clickjacking, an emerging hacker technique similar to cross-site scripting, tricks a user into executing malicious commands on a seemingly legitimate or innocent website. John Strand reviews how the attack works, how it compares to cross-site scripting, and why the enterprise response may change your corporate culture. And now for this week's edition of Threat Monitor. How to prevent clickjacking attacks with security policy, not technology. Written by John Strand. Unfortunately, many people believe that a malicious hacker's attempt to compromise their systems will be fairly obvious. But today's stealthy attacks are more difficult to detect and won't be followed by a skull and crossbones graphic to inform users that they've been hacked. We also tend to look at the internet in terms of how we view real life. There are certain neighborhoods and places in our town that we just don't go to, for example, because there is a perceived risk of crime in the area. Many people believe that if they stay away from the shady areas of the internet, they should be okay. Unfortunately, attacks like clickjacking are changing this perception. First, let's differentiate clickjacking from other web-based attacks. Clickjacking is not cross-site scripting. In a cross-site scripting attack, malicious content is reflected back to a browser where it is then executed. It is not cross-site request forgery, either. With cross-site request forgery, a user views a page that contains a reference to a web resource, like a picture hosted on another site. Instead of loading the picture, however, the browser is manipulated to execute a command, like a balance transfer. Clickjacking is different. The attack is conducted by transparently overlaying the malicious function over something apparently benign. This type of misdirection is dangerous because the user interacts with a website that appears to be totally legitimate. Users who are clicking on a link or a button in a flash game, for example, are in fact executing the malicious code on the site. From the browser's perspective, the code execution is an authorized request from the user, so the browser carries out the order unimpeded. The clickjacking approach can perform a lot of interesting, if not malicious, actions on a victim's browser. For example, it had been demonstrated that, via clickjacking, an attacker could trick a user to click on seemingly innocent buttons that, in actuality, could grant site access to the computer's webcam and microphone. Because the action appears to be a request from the user, the browser will do pretty much whatever it is requested. An attacker could dump cached credentials to steal usernames and passwords, web history, searches, and potentially engage in malicious transactions. But clickjacking is not limited simply to web content. Web researchers Jeremiah Grossman and Robert R. Snake Hansen, who, at Adobe System Inc.'s request, actually delayed their clickjacking presentation at the recent OWASP USA security conference in New York, discovered this attack vector, also found a way to execute the same kind of attack in flash files. So, how can enterprise environments protect against this attack? John Strand will offer more advice after a quick word from SearchSecurity.com.
When it comes to analyzing a network, protecting enterprise data, or fighting malware, you can plop down thousands of dollars for a commercial product, or you can get tons of great functionality from a free tool. Let SearchSecurity.com show you how some of the industry's best free and open source tools work in our exclusive screencast series. Each month, one of SearchSecurity.com's best experts will offer a step-by-step video presentation showing you how to use the most powerful tools and software, including Nessus, Snort, UTM, and so much more. And it's all free. Don't wait. Watch and learn today. Visit SearchSecurity.com/screencast. That's SearchSecurity.com/screencast.
How can enterprise environments protect against this attack? First, to defend against the flash-based vector, set the Always Deny option in the global privacy settings of your flash player. Doing so will prevent flash from accessing resources like your video camera and your microphone. Also, be on the lookout for a patch from Adobe in the near future. It is a bit more difficult to protect the browser. Because of the many attack vectors, simply disabling JavaScript will not completely defend against clickjacking. I would strongly recommend that organizations recommend that their users use the Firefox browser along with the NoScript plugin, which provides preemptive script blocking and enables users to see transparent or hidden windows. This new feature in NoScript, called ClearClick, reveals disguised embedded elements and prevents their execution. But even if users were able to see the potentially malicious content, would they know what is malicious and what is benign? User education is key here, and due to the nature of today's attacks, must be considered in different terms. Rather than simply trying to tell users not to click on links from strangers or avoid non-approved binaries, security staffs need to look for ways to hold users accountable for what happens on their systems. From a technical perspective, clickjacking is different from cross-site scripting or cross-site request forgery, but the attacks are all roughly similar when looked at from an enterprise risk assessment perspective. When it comes to cross-site scripting, cross-site request forgery, and clickjacking, the first action that leads to system compromise is likely the same. The user went to a site that was not work-related. In summary, the best recommendations for avoiding clickjacking attacks are not technical. If users are allowed to access the internet as part of having a fun workplace, penalties should be established if a user's system gets compromised by visiting a non-work-related site. An organization can decide what penalties will be enforced, but there must be some sort of consequence for a user's action if it leads to a compromise. If there are no penalties, employees and users may see no risk in going to sites that are not mission-critical in order to perform their day-to-day job functions. Even if the risk is immense to the organization, the user will continue to partake in risky web surfing if they're not directly impacted. That concludes this week's edition of SearchSecurity.com's Threat Monitor podcast. You can also download more of our podcasts by visiting www.searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thanks for listening.